I'm Lee Hansen. I'm a partner in the London and Washington, D.C. offices of Reed Smith. With me today is my partner, Alex Brandt, and we're going to be talking very briefly today, because we know we have a reception to get to, about sanctions, the dark fleet, and the new administration. I know we've spoken quite a bit today about the new administration and its impact on sanctions, but there's really, unfortunately, no way to avoid talking about that, particularly in relation to sanctions, Russia, Iran, lots of different things coming up. And I think when the election results first came in, we were all scrambling. We were all thinking, okay, how is this going to impact us and our clients and what they're doing? Because I feel like for the past 2.5, 3 years now, we've just gotten our arms around what's been going on, particularly with respect to Russia. And then we've heard the campaign pledges, we've heard where things may be heading. It was a bit of a pivot, because we're hearing different things about what's going to happen with Russia, what's going to happen with Iran, whole host of other regimes where we've Syria, for example, where we had a good grip of what was going on. Then we'd heard the rumors prior to the election that the Biden administration was likely to make some drastic changes to numerous sanctions packages, particularly Russia. I don't think we were quite prepared, though, for the onslaught of sanctions that really did hit us in the run-up to the election and on Biden's way out. Alex is going to be talking a little bit about some of those points, particularly in the context of Russia and the dark fleet and where we landed on that and where we might be heading on that. But first, I just want to briefly talk about what the new administration has done recently since the new president has taken over. And I think, it's something we've been talking about all day, really, is this whole issue of tariffs. Tariffs, tariffs, tariffs. It was hardly a surprise, given that his campaign promise was that he was going to be imposing tariffs. There were big threats made against China, against Mexico, against Canada. And so really within the past 2 weeks, and we've seen this, just last week, President Trump, imposed a number of executive orders imposing the threat of tariffs on both Canada and Mexico and then China. And as we all know, those tariffs have been walked back a bit with respect to China and Mexico. In China, still in place. I think what's really interesting from a sanctions perspective, though, on these tariffs, tariffs are nothing new, is really how he decided to impose those tariffs using IEEPA, which is a sanctions tool rather than a trade remedies tool. And the justification for that has been, according to President Trump and his administration, is that there is a national emergency. There is a threat to U.S. national security, and that's why he's using IEEPA for this. For Canada and Mexico, those tariffs were 25%. They've been paused for the moment. For China, it's 10%. And that's 10% on top of the other tariffs that are already imposed against China. So this is it's a fairly big hit. And again, we still really have no idea where this is going. But again, importantly, there are very few exceptions to those tariffs. So a lot of times there'll be waivers, there'll be reductions in those tariffs depending on, what the situation is. He has not allowed that for these particular rounds of tariffs. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how things go. One other thing that we're seeing, and it's somewhat similar to tariffs, and for those of you who are not, actively following the situation with the U.S. government and the contracts, for example, with USAID, we're already starting to see some impact there. So for the recent administration has put a pause on funding for USAID, has put a pause on reletting new contracts. So there's a lot of small government contractors, including shipping companies, that provide services for USAID and act as subcontractors to larger prime contractors. We're already seeing the impact on that business. Some of those companies are saying, we can't operate without funding for 90 days. If we're not going to get paid, we're going to have to close our doors. So we're already starting to see some of the impact that these tariffs are having. So I think it really is going to be an interesting, you know, next few months to see whether anything shifts on that, particularly from a sanctions perspective. Alex, do you want to talk a little bit about sort of what the Biden administration did on the way out the door, where we are with things and what we can expect going forward?
Yeah, thanks, Lee. And look, we're not obviously not going to sit here and try and predict what Trump is going to do with Russia, because it's pointless. I'm not sure, truthfully, I'm not sure Trump himself has worked out where we're going on that. One thing I do know is that the shadow fleet has increasingly monopolized headlines and the thoughts of the G7, G7 regulators. You know, with the benefit of hindsight, the shadow fleet, the proliferation of the shadow fleet, the parallel fleet, whatever you want to call it, was inevitable as the G7 sought to close doors on oil, but also LNG and other key commodities from Russia. What happened, as you say, Lee, on his way out the door, the Biden administration had this sort of final act where multiple vessels were sanctioned, Sogut Neftegaz and Gazprom Neft, two key oil majors. And I attended a briefing a couple of days ago. Apparently, that represents about 25% of the total oil majors. Very significant moves that were echoed and mimicked by the UK as well. You know, when we look at the 10th of January designations, they kind of fall into the shipping designations. They fall into two categories. You had the designation of the Russian fleet. You know, Sovcomflot had been sanctioned by different people at different stages, but these were proper sort of full stop sanctions against Sovcomflot. But you also had the Gazprom Neft bunker fleet. You had the Rosneft fleet, and two of the key insurance companies, Ingostra, already sanctioned by the UK, of course, and Alfa Strakosky. So that was kind of half of the shipping designations that the Biden administration brought in. The other half were what, you know, we've come to know as the shadow fleet, the parallel fleet. You know, I don't think anyone is suggesting that the shadow fleet is like a navy. You know, this is a disparate group of actors, different interests around the world, but they all share sort of key similarities: aging fleets, lack of properly capitalized insurance. You know, they're not classed by IACs. You know, and obviously they're engaged in what we would perceive as high risk transport of oil and commodities. And I think actually over time, the shadow fleet, although it started as a Russian concept, you see it being used for Venezuela trade, for Iranian trade. And actually, if you look at the latest round of designations, again, inevitably, you see a confluence of the different sanctions programs, and those engaging in Russian oil are also engaging in Iranian oil. That was inevitable. I think that was inevitable. So on the 10th of January, you had the OFAC designations, which are broadly what I've just outlined. The State Department also had their own designation round, and they targeted the Vostok oil project. They targeted the PRC crude oil terminal operator, and you saw the effect of that. You know, we probably all followed in the news the with Shandong and you know, will they, won't they, will they let these vessels in? That was because they were responding to the clear and present threat of sanctions. And the PRC actors, they'll remember the damage that was inflicted by the Trump administration the first time around. The reality is that China is a little bit different from Russia. You know, it has a far greater exposure than its own borders. And I think there has been throughout, you know, the Biden administration and the Trump administration before that, genuine concern about the effect of U.S. sanctions and the loss of use of the U.S. dollar and those markets. So that is, in terms of hard sanctions, that's where we ended up on the 10th of January. But, you know, the efforts of the G7 surrounding the shadow fleet are not limited, I think, just to designating individuals, entities, ships. You also see a sustained pattern of designations now against those intermediate oil traders, many of whom are DMCC or FZE entities operating in the Middle East. Before Christmas, we had Two Rivers, ex-Coral, designated by the UK. That caused really, I think, profound ripples through the industry. A lot of large players still had exposure, as we found out. You know, Christmas ruined. You know, so you had the target of those intermediate actors. But then you've got other steps. You know, sanctions aren't the only tool in the regulator's arsenal. And we were speaking to the UK Foreign Office the other day. they're massively increasing their outreach against flag registries. They recognize that sanctions is but one lever. And so there's that educational piece, that carrot and stick with the flag registries. What can we do for you? And I was surprised, impressed, maybe the wrong word, but it's clear that the UK at least is willing to give up significant political capital on this issue. That's how important the UK regulator treats it. And if it's happening in the UK, and obviously as a Brit, I'm closer to that jurisdiction. But I can equally imagine that it's the same in the US and the EU as well. So that's one area. I think the other area, and I've sort of left the best for last really, is sales into the shadow fleet, the sale of secondhand tankers. And many many of you in this room will be aware of a sustained media sort of campaign, different journalists around the UK and the EU investigative journalism into how did the shadow fleet proliferate from a couple of hundred vessels, soft complot vessels, to 600, 700, depends on how exactly you define the shadow fleet. There's a lot of ships out there, and that has become a key concern for government, and as I say, we've seen this media campaign recently as well. I know that the UK government is trying to work out how to deal with this, and it's been explained to them, believe me, it's been explained to them, that it is a very difficult thing to deal with, because, if I sell my car to a drug dealer, I mean, am I responsible for that action? There's obviously due diligence we can do, due diligence we should do, but depending on where you look in the shadow fleet, as I say, it's not one navy, and, are we really saying that we should block the sale sometimes to state-owned enterprises in different areas of the world? It gets very difficult, very politically challenging to say, basically, we should stop selling tankers now, for fear outside of the EU, because for fear that it might end up in the shadow fleet. But as I say, a large number of people in this room will be aware that it's become very, very challenging selling tankers now. There's been a lot of clampdown on escrow agents and finding finances, banks, lawyers willing to act on it. A lot of caution around it. And I know, on the other hand, I know that the regulators are trying to find out ways on which to enforce it, because they are getting that media piece saying, how can it be that on your watch, the dark fleet has proliferated to 600-700 vessels? So, as we go forward, that will not change. If I was a betting man, if I was going to predict on what is going to happen next, that's going to be the key focus bit, I think the shadow fleet. And just, I guess, one other point. Quite interestingly, and again, the UK government was quite keen on this. There was a question posed, and it's a question that they've jumped upon, which is saying, okay, we say that we don't have jurisdiction over these tankers anymore, but these tankers need to get out. If they're loading at Baltic ports, they need to get out, and they're going through the Dover Straits, they're going through the Danish Straits. How can that be? And so we saw in the last couple of months an initiative initially by the UK, but it's expanded. Denmark is a key contributor now to using VHF, radioing these tankers as they go through these straits and saying, hey, we need to know what insurance you have. And they say, so voluntary, we're mindful of UNCLOS, we're not stepping on any toes, we're not breaking any international laws, but tell us what your insurance is. And if you don't, something may happen to you. And what has happened, and the UK has published this, is saying that in some cases, those tankers that didn't respond going through the Dover Straits, they've been sanctioned. So in sum then, the shadow fleet is a problem that has grown and grown and grown. It was, with hindsight, probably something that was always going to happen with G7 price cap and the other sanctions we had. And now trying to control that, trying to retain that, contain that, is proving very challenging for the regulators. And they're reaching for lots of different levers to try and now claw back some of the damage. I think that was all I had to say on it. Is there anything?
I think that's it. I mean, I think we're all, you might have just one last point on Iran, which is something... I think we were all, there was a bit of, I wouldn't say a pause with the Biden administration on Iran. He certainly was imposing sanctions. I think the enforcement side of the sanctions piece was less of an issue for that administration, because there was an attempt for many years to try to work out the JCPOA. I think that's likely to be completely off the table at this point in time. We saw just last week the Trump administration issued a very robust statement about Iran and the fact that they're planning on engaging in very, very robust enforcement going forward. So I think that's going to be a space to watch. And not just focusing on Iranian players, but also the supporting actors. They were specifically calling out China, the UAE, and India to some extent. So it would be interesting to see where that one goes as well.
That will be very challenging because I think, you know, I recognize some faces in this room. We met many of you in that initial round, you know, Trump versus Iran, Mark One, the oil seizures, that pattern of designations, and there's nothing that I've seen or heard that suggests we're not going to be back in that paradigm.
Absolutely.
Which is a real, obviously a real threat to shipping.
Yeah.